Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Dr. Reddy's Laboratories Limited conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that the conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Kedar Upadhye. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good morning and good afternoon to all of you. Thank you for joining this conference call organized to discuss the queries relating to the warning letter received by us. We have the leadership team of Dr. Reddy's comprising Mr. Satish Reddy, our Chairman, G.V. Prasad, our Chief Executive Officer, and Saumin Chakraborty, our Chief Financial Officer here in Hyderabad. We also have Abhijit Mukherjee, our Chief Operating Officer, joining in from U.S. Before we proceed with the call, I would like to remind everyone about the safe harbor. This discussion will contain certain forward-looking statements which are based on management's current beliefs and expectations and involve a number of known and unknown risks and uncertainties that could cause our future results, performance, or achievements to differ significantly from what is expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements. For more detailed information on the risks and uncertainties associated with the company's business activities, please see the company's Form 20-F for the fiscal year ended March 31, 2015, and Form 6-K for the quarter ended June 30, 2015, and our other filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission. Now, I would like to turn the call over to G.V. Prasad, our CEO.
Thank you, Kedar. Greetings to all of you and welcome to this conference call. You would have seen our press release issued on last Friday about the warning letter that we received from the U.S. FDA. We also shared brief comments later with the media on that day. At this stage, we have just begun to compile the response on our comprehensive plan for the corrective and preventive actions for submission to the agency. This call is meant to give you a broad idea as to how we are approaching the matter. During the call, we will avoid discussing any specific observation made in the letter, and we'll also avoid any speculative comments on the next steps likely to be taken by the agency, since that would be very clearly inappropriate. The letter mentions our three sites, the API sites at Srikakulam and Miryalgoda, and our formulation site at Duvada, Vizag. We have been given 15 days' time to respond. Until this matter is resolved, the agency may withhold approval of any new applications which involve these sites. The issues cited in the letter are GMP violations relating primarily to documentation, practices and control, laboratory testing procedures, incident investigation practices, as well as some standard operating procedures. At this time, we feel confident in the safety and efficacy of our products. However, we plan to do a comprehensive assessment of any risk to the quality of our products. And this time, there is no directive from the FDA to stop the manufacturing activity or shipment of any products from these sites. As we respond to the agency, it is imperative for us to continue to strengthen our quality management systems and processes and enhance the infrastructure for training and development of our staff on the current GMP practices. We have instituted corrective actions to address the 483 observations received earlier in each of these sites, which formed part of the updates shared with the agency. This recent letter underscores the need for us to reevaluate the work done in light of the observations raised and continue to implement the CAPAs fully, assess the impact of FDA's observation on our products, as well as enhance our overall quality management system. We would also need to perform additional detailed third-party assessments of our quality systems and evaluate our global manufacturing operations to ensure compliance with cGMP regulations. While this work is on, we will parallelly attempt to de-risk supplies by transferring select products to alternate sites. We have already taken steps to implement such transfers, and there is a dedicated team actively focused on this activity. However, considering the amount of work involved in such transfers and capacity constraints, we should we should be prioritizing only select products for this process. Clearly, we are not happy with the fact that we could not resolve the Form 483 observations to the agency's satisfaction. We have always taken quality and compliance matters seriously, and we will continue to remain focused on the remedial measures. We have embarked on an initiative to revamp our quality systems and processes as a top organizational priority. We will obviously not compromise on making any required investments in terms of investments, training, consultancy, as well as other areas as may be required to bring us back into compliance. Finally, it has always been our endeavor to be transparent with all our stakeholders on material and important matters like this. We shall continue to update you further at periodic frequencies. And with these initial comments, I would like to open the call for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Any participant who would like to ask a question, please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you'd like to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from the line of Neha Manpuria from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question, sir. So the fact that we have got one warning letter for these three facilities, does that mean that the issues raised in the Form 483s were similar for all of these and therefore there's one letter? Or is it the US FDA is taking a more corporate approach to the entire process?
There have been one or two common elements, but not across the board. So I would assume that it's a corporate action that the FDA wants us to take in improving the quality management system.
And, sir, you know, you also mentioned that, you know, you were obviously taking corrective actions to address the Form 483, the observation raised in Form 483, which haven't been satisfactory, you know, as per the USFD and hence the warning letter. How would you, you know, go about identifying as to what additionally needs to be done to address what's required in the warning letter?
The FDA has also given us some areas they would like us to see specifically. It is in the area of third-party evaluation of product quality and third-party verification of some of the actions we have taken and things like that. So we have a fairly good idea of what their expectations are from the warning letter itself, mm-hmm. as well as from the observations that they cited in the warning letter are a subset of the 483 observations, which clearly carry a few themes, mm-hmm. and we understand those themes, and we are using expert advice to help us and understand what else should we be doing other than the actions that we have taken so far to meet FDA's expectations. And we are seriously working on that. In the next 2 weeks, we will come out with a comprehensive plan and then submit it to the FDA.
I have more questions, but you know, I'll come back later. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Daryl, can we take the next question?
Sure. The next question is from the line of Prakash Agarwal from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So just trying to understand this procedure better. In October, you got this OAI. And it results in a warning letter. So, I mean, is there a typical procedure that 483 and then OAI and then the warning letter? If you could help us understand the process, that would be really helpful.
See, the fact that it is OAI is not very clear when the observations are given. The FDA maintains a website where they indicate OAI or potential OAI and or VAI. I think this has been a recent change in the FDA's way of working. So we are also learning this process as we go forward. We have been giving regular updates and responses, but you know, we didn't have any feedback clearly from the FDA on this matter. So beyond this, I'm not clear how the system really works within the FDA.
Okay, now what I'm trying to understand is the OAI comes immediately after the 483 or it can come with a lag in your case it came with a lag, is it?
I think we have seen all kinds of situations, so I really don't know exactly how this works.
You might be referring to this customer A&E approval letter decision.
Yeah, Prakash, you are referring to the potential OAI that you spoke about, or you are referring to this warning letter?
Yes, sir. I mean, just trying to understand with respect to this warning letter, was the OAI being informed to us in the past, or it came just in October with the customer approval getting assigned it?
Yeah, it came with the customer A&D approval decision that we got to know about these two API sites from where the API was supplied to the customer. But along with initial inspection, there is no indication we get.
Understood. Okay, and so secondly, just trying to understand, so as you said, it would clearly, it might delay the new approvals. Two comments here. One is it also fair to assume that the filings from this facility will not be one of your priorities now, given the, and it would come into priority once it is totally resolved, or you would continue to file from this site?
We are, looking at all aspects of this remediation plan. Our first priority is products in the market. How do we ensure that the FDA and others are assured of the quality of the products? That is number one priority. Number two is our remediation process. After that, we will also evaluate the filings that we made here. We will also take risk mitigation steps in terms of alternate sites for our filings as we go forward. But that will be a priority for us.
Okay. And lastly, sir, you talked about in the call, in the 2Q call, that, you know, Gleevec is one of the big products which we are already working on the de-risking. We also see there is a DMF file for us. So has this been totally de-risked now, or is it in the process of getting de-risked, and hence the statement that we would be coming few quarters later than Sun's approval?
Prakash, at this stage, we'll avoid getting into product-by-product conversation. So as we said, we are less concerned on the new launches because we have several mitigation options possible.
I'll take it. So I actually mentioned this in the last meeting. It's an external API, so it's got nothing to do with our internal API. I clarified that in the last call. The API is from another Indian source.
And we have good certainty on launching this product as of now.
Well, you asked about the API and the risk. I mean, there is naturally it's an important product. All efforts will be on. I won't comment on certainty and other things, but since you said which site API is from an external source.
Okay. Thank you so much. I have more questions. I'll back to you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Anubhav Agarwal from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to confirm one thing, that in the warning letter, what has FDA expressed disappointment with? Is it more towards the initial corrective action plan suggested by Dr. Reddy's, or the implementation of the corrective action plan?
It is primarily the initial response to the plan.
So you think the scope of the plan is what you may want to enhance it? Because earlier question you said that FDA has mentioned something like third-party verification, etc., which is more like implementation, right?
Yes, but I think we didn't include these aspects in our initial response. And the FDA wants us to focus on these issues, also get third-party verification and third-party evaluation of certain things, and also do it across our manufacturing network.
But just to get it right, so one is like getting an external agency validation of what you have done. But beyond this, what you suggested, let's say what you need to come back in compliance with the FDA deviations, does any of that thing need to change, or is this, or the scope just needs to be augmented with validation by third party?
No. There is significant more work. We are working on it. I can't give you that level of granularity today. We are still working with several advisors, and we are also seized with this. So it has to go beyond our original response. That is clear to us. So we are still working out what that means to us.
That's helpful, sir. One question is that, is there any physical constraint on doing site transfer? Because theoretically on paper, it's possible to do site transfer of all the affected products, right?
There is a lot of work involved. It is not just simple transfer. In some cases, we are not transferring also. We are just changing the source of the API. So there are various strategies to address this issue.
You know why I'm asking this question is, of course, for next 1 year or 1.5 years, or let's say for n number of months, till the time warning letter is effected, you may have plan of launching 15 products. But I was asking that out of 15, maybe 5 or 7 may be more relevant. But even doing site transfer 5-7 products in a year, is that physically possible or that's very much doable?
I mean, I don't want to talk too much about product level discussions, but I think our first priority today is products in the market, ensuring they will meet all requirements and ensure there is no risk to anything. So that is our primary focus. We will also mitigate the filings as we go forward, but our first priority today is remediation, risk assessment, and ensuring products are available, what we are producing in the marketplace.
Thank you. I'll join back to you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Charulata Gaidani from Dalal & Broacha. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, my question relates to what is the impact on injectables in terms of revenues and in terms of profitability?
Abhijit, do you want to take this?
Yeah, so not much at the moment. A very large part of the injectables manufacturing is outsourced, I think, in some form or other we must have mentioned to you. And in the course of life cycle of these products, we brought this into the site. The manufacturing continues since now it is both outsourced and in-house. I think it is happening with a certain ratio. We keep that ratio depending on the financials and how we want to sort of drive that. But broadly, it's a mix of same products, two options.
Okay, and the impact on profitability?
Well, if the impact on manufacturing is less likely, then it's obvious that profitability will be less likely. But this is based on currently as we understand. But as I said, Reclass family, Zometa is certainly outsourced, as well as Apogen Vedaza is outsourced plus in-house, both options.
Okay. And relating to azacitidine and desitabine, oncology formulation as a percentage to total revenues.
Okay, sir.
So, Charulata, I think Abhijit clarified a part of the revenues from both these products are sourced from internal as well as external. A large part is currently from the partner side.
He is asking what is the percentage of the
overall revenue? Percentage. What is the percentage?
I think what
roughly, is roughly 20% of the U.S. business in that zone.
Yeah, that's what you want.
Isn't it?
Yeah, roughly 20%.
And in terms of profitability, oncology would be contributing more to the profits?
It would be relatively higher, Charulata, but let's avoid product level margins conversation on that this stage.
Okay, fine. Thank you. I'll join back the queue.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Girish Bakru from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Just again on the, when you say you'll have to install some of these measures across the network, I'm just trying to figure, is there any impact on, say, facilities outside these three that you would need to also be cautious on and put probably some more measures?
Absolutely. Any corrective measure we take has to be implemented at all our sites. And we've been doing that already. In the last several months, we've done a number of enhancements. And they've been rolled out across the network. And we still have to work out whether we have the third-party verification across the network or only the affected sites. So that is something we are still determining.
So let's say, I mean, in terms of, say, let's say, Bachupalli, when would, say, I mean, I'm just trying to assess, when is the next inspection due going to you for that particular site?
Recently inspected.
Okay, it was recently inspected. And in terms of when you say there is an emphasis on third-party verification, is FDA trying to suggest that whatever third parties you have used currently are inadequate and you might need to either add more or change? So in terms of consultants, are you looking to change that part?
Not yet, no. We think we are in good hands there.
No, so then what I didn't understand what then third-party verification...
The scope of the work has to increase, so that is the only thing now.
Okay.
More comprehensive and more the scope of the work that they are doing. We have not done any third-party verification till today, so we don't have that yet.
Is there any particular, number that FDA comments on what kind of verification it needs, or?
There's no specific guidance.
Right. And just on the ANDA side, I know Onilater Persi doesn't stop you from selling the products, but has there been any removal of any ANDA approval because of this warning letter?
So, for the APIs indicated in these sites, approvals have been stopped. So
but those are only customer ANDAs, right? Not your own AND, right?
Some of our ANDAs are also there.
So let me answer. So those ANDAs which are removed have specifically or have been approved after audits took place in these sites, right? They were by mistake approved because once the audits sites are audited and not fully resolved in terms of the observations, if any approval goes out, so we realized that and then withdrew this thing for, and those are for our customers. In one of those products, we never got approval in the first place itself. So there is not, I mean, at the moment, there is nothing before or after that period after which or it took place till date.
So from the inspection to this date, just from number-wise, how many ANDAs were these, down the number?
Yeah, so that, as we said in the protocol, two of our customer and us were defended.
Right, just then two customer ANDAs, right? Not any that which you thought were your own AND, right? I'm just trying to still understand this.
What Vijit is saying, that we didn't get approval at all because ANDA doesn't come.
Yeah, you're not talking of not getting approval. You're not getting approval.
Right.
Okay, that's a separate issue. Rescinding is a term where you have got approval and that has been withdrawn.
Right. Okay.
That is
fine.
We are not getting approval.
Yeah. That I understand. Thanks. That's helpful. Thanks.
Thank you. Next question from the line of Sameer Baisiwara from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Thanks for this. Good evening, everyone. You talked about a recent inspection at Bachupalli, FTO3. I see there are some 483s which were issued over there June 15.
Right.
Can you talk a bit about it?
Around 6 months back. No, 5 months back.
So when you say that, you know, these three warning letters were, so to say, corporate-wide action,
yeah.
Then why did they not impose the same thing on FTO3?
So I think FTO3 was not considered that severe. They were all correctable issues, and I think we've already addressed some of them. And I think the observations there were of a relatively less serious nature.
So FTO3, they didn't link at all in this warning letter. Actually, it is Briel Gura and this has been linked also. We were surprised. We didn't expect that linking at all.
Yeah. So we've had several inspections after this incident also. In some cases, there were no 483s. In some cases, there were some small 483s.
And those sites where there was 483s but not included in the recent warning letter, should we assume that they will remain out of that, or the chance that they can also be included?
To the best of our knowledge, I think they will not be included.
Okay, this is very helpful. And is there a distinction that you would make between your older sites and the newer sites? And I say that because Srikakulam and Duvada, I would imagine, are far more recent sites versus Meralguda and others, which are older ones, and they, in general, have never given you any such problems.
Well, Srikakulam is an old site. It's almost a 25-year-old site.
Okay.
Srikakulam, we have a new, that is the SEJ facility.
Yeah. Yeah.
Both are in, this place called
Srikakulam.
Yeah, Srikakulam in Srikakulam district. But the site, which the API site where we got a lot of 483s, we had the old site. That is not the new one.
Yeah, it's one of our oldest sites, old site. The FTO 7 is reasonably new.
Duvada one.
New Duvada is a new site.
So would you make a distinction between old and new? Whenever we do site visits, we are told that the new sites, your investments are far more higher, they are far more advanced, the installations are keeping next 5 years in mind, etc. What FDA may issue guidance. So surprised to see a newer one also being part of this warning letter. So
this is also relatively new, but the injectable site is one of our early ones. And these are not related to equipment or infrastructure, the observations. They're primarily around documentation practices and control, laboratory testing procedures, and incident investigation. But in the case of injectable facility, there's the added issue of how we manage the sterility in the system.
Okay. And Duvada, you've got two blocks. The other is the non-cyto. And so this warning letter specifically relates to cyto, or does it include both?
It is only cyto. Only the cyto. The other facility was not.
That is a different facility. It is not only different block.
It has a different facility. Yeah.
So it is also with a different inspection will happen for that.
Okay. But it's in the same premise. I thought they were using
It has a different identity and establishment.
There is a physical demarcation.
Yeah.
Okay, and so the other question that I have is, is there now a risk of escalation at these three sites from warning letter to an import alert?
So I can't speculate on that, but we are doing our best to respond and address all the FDA concerns as comprehensively as we can. So beyond that, I can't speculate about what FDA will do.
As a matter of process, after 483, we are generally left, maybe 9 months, 12, or even 15 months, wondering whether it's going to get better or worse. But after a warning letter, is the uncertainty so long, or do you think within, once you respond 15 days and then maybe a month or 2 months, FDA will take an action either which way?
I really can't answer this question. I think it really depends on what FDA thinks of our response and our approach to remediation. We are doing our best, and we are really fully committed to doing whatever we should to ensure that the FDA gets assurance about our intentions and actions.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Surjit Pal from Prabhudas Lilladher. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. I have two questions. Is there any other plant, as you said, I'm Bachupalli. Is there any other plant for steel 483 pending, and you are concerned for that?
Surjit, I think we clarified, in case there is anything reportable, we would have reported.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there is nothing to be reported.
Okay. How many pending ANDAs to be impacted out of the three plants which currently under scanner?
ANDA comes only from the formulation site.
Okay.
We are basically talking about Duvada facility.
Okay.
asking how many ANDAs pending from the water facility or using the API.
Yeah, Surjit, we would avoid getting into that at this stage.
Okay. I was just thinking is that, as you say, it is that, you know, there could be some approval, particularly since your basic theme of developing, you know, pending ANDAs on oncology and oncology injectables in near to medium term as a complex product and limited competition drugs. So from that perspective, how much that those kind of future could be impacted? If you give some, even if not numbers, even if you give some, you know, qualitative analysis on that.
Abhijit, do you have a point of view on this?
Yeah, I mean, I don't recall the exact numbers, but could be, you know, the ones which is filed and pending would be 4 or 5. Some one or two, maybe some slightly more near term, and the rest are a little further down, which, you know, provides ample time for looking at alternatives if need be. So broadly, that's where we are. This is also a global oncology site, so caters to other parts of the world as well.
Just last question, if I may. The third-party product, oncology product, which you manufacture, which you might be supplying API from here. So are you supposed to source from third-party API, or you are supposed to supply your API to continue your third-party formulation?
No, the answer is not clear. The way you have filed the ANDA, you have to follow the same procedure. If it's a third-party API, third-party dosage, then in the ANDA, then the same would be the, you know, that's the way they want us to continue.
So
if you find an alternate site of in-house API or anything else or in-house dosage manufacturing, then you can have the alternatives. So depending on what you have filed, you have to continue.
So what it implies is that post-warning letter, I mean, if you want to de-risking the scenario, so you might be looking for third-party source of API.
Yeah,
if need be, yes. If need be, if need be, for sure, yes. Yeah. Anyway, the, you know, some of the, this is normal for all companies, not just for us, to have to look at alternatives at any point in time.
So I'm just wondering. I mean, it will definitely impact your operating margin.
In the type of product one is talking about, you know, the tech transfer to other sites or buying in APIs may or may not make very, very significant impact. There will be, of course, some impact, but these are a little more on the higher-end specialties.
Thanks. I'll be in the queue. I have a few more questions. Thanks.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Surya Patra from Phillip Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for this opportunity. I just wanted to know in the way whether you have already got a certain corrective action that is to be done in all the sites.
Could you repeat the question, please?
In the way you have already received the kind of corrective measures that is required by USFDA already?
You mean
you are talking about the warning letter?
Yeah, no, in the OAI indication or communication, whether USFDA has already indicated about certain kind of corrective measures that is required in all your facilities.
No. The warning letter gives you that guidance. Not, there is no such thing as an OAI.
There is no
OAI. OAI is only a status indicator.
Okay,
The warning letter has some directions that they, in terms of where they want to see us go.
Okay.
And we will use that to respond.
So as of now, whether you have any, sometime back you had indicated that your Srikakulam facility is de-risked for the near future by site transfer and all that. So you still stand by that statement, or you are revising that considering the kind of recent development?
So I don't think we said Srikakulam is de-risk. We said certain key products are de-risk from that site. So it is not that the entire site is de-risk.
Okay. Any idea about the kind of budget for the remediation activities?
Too early. It's too early for us to.
Okay. And just last question on that. See, we have indicated that 10 to 12% kind of revenue implication. Could you say that, okay, what is the mix between the APIs and kind of formulation?
Not at this stage.
Okay. Okay, fine, sir. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Manoj Garg from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening and thanks for taking my question, sir. Abhijit, just want to understand from an injectable perspective, do we have any other US FDA approved the injectable facilities apart from this?
The one which we were discussing a little while back in the near the same premise, which is not approved, but which is filing has started, but that's non-onco injectables.
So non-onco injectables. So meanwhile, till the time, you know, this remedial measures, you know, will go on this facility, are our filing will still remain in process or we may hold down filing for a time being before this plant comes under compliance?
Depending on the time, you know, time scale in which we would see the asset in market, you know, many assets have 3 years, 4 years. You know, there are lots of forward-looking assets. Those will fall in one category, and the category which are very near-term will fall in another category where you know there will be more of a partnership approach, or at times the transfer.
Okay. Okay. So net like you know our filing process will not stop you know whatever the status of the facility at this point of time. Is that correct? Understanding correct?
Yeah, I don't think one can do that with a very knee-jerk reaction. We'll have to at least think the assets which are a few years away.
Mm-hmm.
I think certainly filing would continue.
Fair enough. And Mr. Prasad, like in your opening remarks, you said that this is going to take significant time, you know, in terms of obviously do the course correction. Can you be a little more clear on this, like significant time is because I understand most of the corrective action which it was supposed to take and you have taken apart from third-party validations and, you know, bringing third-party consultants out there. But when you talk about significant time, how much it could be, 3 months, 6 months, or maybe more than that?
See, this is an ongoing journey. It's not that we can quickly fix everything in one go. This is going to take significant effort and time.
Mm-hmm.
We can't predict when the FDA will come back. It all depends on the plan that we present, the action that we put in place, the progress we show. So I can't talk to you today about timelines.
Okay, fair enough, sir. And the last question before I just get into the queue. We have spoken about doing the site transfer for our future filings out of Srikakulam. I understand that there are a lot of, you know, large products which have been linked to Srikakulam, where the API has been, you know, is being supplied from Srikakulam. Any plan to de-risk even those kind of products also?
We have to look at value and prioritize accordingly, but that is our second priority. Our first priority is remediation.
Yeah, fair enough. So wish you all the best, sir, and that's all from my side.
Thank you. We'll take one last question from the line of Prakash Agarwal from Axis Capital. Please go ahead. Mr. Agarwal, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead with your question.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity again. So just trying this, you know, on the process again, you know, warning letter, normally we see import alert to be much more faster post the 483, and it's not necessarily seen that, you know, import alert is always followed by warning letter. So, I mean, have you looked at history and, you know, would it be fair to say that, you know, the, you know, chances of import alert is now very remote because it would have had to happen, it would have happened the first 3-6 months?
I can't comment on that question. I can't speculate on that.
No, but looking at history, I mean, not on your case, but just looking at history, because you must have looked at various data points.
I cannot respond to this question. It's difficult.
Okay, and one clarification, you spoke about the observations on the on this warning letter. So if you could please repeat once more, that would be great. Thank you so much.
So if you categorize them, they're in four broad categories. Documentation control, practices and control, laboratory testing procedures, adequacy of standard operating procedures, and incident investigation practices. These are the buckets, but within them there are some nuances. Some of them are computer controls, some of them are paper controls, some of them are how we handle chromatograms and all that. The warning letter should become public in a few days, where it will be posted on the website of the FDA. I think you will get more details there.
Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is in the line of Chirag Talati from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my questions. A couple of them. First, you know, just to understand the procedure a bit better, when you go for a site transfer of a product that's not yet approved, you would necessarily need to file a PAS rather than going for a CBE 30. Is that understanding correct?
Abhijit, you want to clarify?
Yeah, that is right. That is right. And you have the option of later even pulling out the earlier this thing.
And in that case, you would need to go for complete 6-month stability data from the new API source?
It depends, case to case, and depends on product to product. In certain cases, there are products which there are some broad guidances, but there are some variations as well, which can be pursued depending on how critical is the product for the market. But we're following the right procedures and doing what needs to be done.
Secondly, on the Vizag SEZ onco block, so I would assume that you got, you know, your understanding with your partners fairly kind of set out so that there's no issues in terms of disruption in supplies, one. And two, given that this is a fairly new facility, can you help me understand, first, you know, was it on microbiology, you know, data capture that you had the observations coming up? And are these observations similar in terms of, you know, the capturing of data that you had in your Srikakulam facility as well?
No, it has nothing to do with the Srikakulam. Sorry, it has nothing to do with the Srikakulam. And this facility is not that brand new. It is a 6-7-year-old facility. The broad areas is this, you know, when incident occurs, the time taken to raise an incident, one of them was that incident investigation. Another one was how the whole system hardware operates and how it is reconciled, things like that. But nothing to do with actual microbiology or sterility itself, but largely around procedures.
Okay, sorry, and just last follow-up on that, because, I mean, we have seen, you know, you see the Miriala Gudi 483, Srikakulam 483, and also the Vizag, you know, the observations that you're talking about, it seems that there's been this, you know, consistent pattern of, you know, hardwares on at least the, you know, control side not being in place properly. So is that like, you know, is that why the FDA is asking you for a global corrective action plan in a way?
I think there are some themes. I think document control, in computer controls, investigations, which are probably themes across.
And were these also raised at Bachupalli?
No.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was our last question. I now hand the floor over to Mr. Kedar Upadhyay for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you all for joining Dr. Reddy's senior management on this conference call. In case of any additional clarifications, please feel free to reach out to Investor Relations team. Thank you and good day.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Dr. Reddy's Laboratories Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining in, and you may now disconnect your lines.